Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Living the Dream. I know I've been gone for a couple weeks, but don't you worry. My sweet, smooth voice is back to caress your squeaky, clean ear holes yet again. Last episode, we got to know Kurt Weisschädel, who quit everything to start his own mobile car wash company. This week, we get to know this guy sitting here in front of me, Mario Fabila. How you doing, Mario?
Terrific.
It's good to have you here, man.
Feeling great.
I know you drove a long way to get here. Where'd you come from?
God, it seems like I came from the East Coast.
Yeah, huh? With that LA traffic?
It was a straight shot from the foothills, all the way out to Winnetka. So it's literally driving along the foothills from the San Gabriel Valley all the way to San Fernando Valley. Nonstop, except, you know, for an accident here.
Yeah,
for there.
Just so. Stopping every now and then.
That's
on the freeway.
Right. That's right.
How long did that drive take you?
Well, let's see. I keyed in the address. It gave me a 58-minute ETA, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was more like an hour and 18 minutes to get here, but, you know, I do this for a living, so wasn't shocked. I was expecting it, so yeah. I kept my cool.
Ah. See, that's very nice of you, because for a stranger, which we are strangers to
Absolutely.
Each other.
Absolutely.
I wouldn't drive 58 minutes to go see you.
Right. Wow. I'm flattered.
I'm just kidding, Mario.
I like your level of authenticity.
Yeah. I try to be honest with all my guests.
Good.
You know?
Me and dysfunctionality go hand in hand.
We work
so, yes,
well together.
Yes, we do.
Awesome. So, Mario, I know you probably haven't heard this show because, I don't know, probably nobody has. And
show or the college. Pierce College was like Pierce. Like,
you first heard of it just
Pierce?
A couple days ago. Huh?
There you go.
So we just get to know you. We get to know your work history.
Gotcha.
So kind of like an interview when you're, you know, doing all your applications. You write in every job you've worked before and your
yes.
resume tells it, same story. So that's kind of what the show is. So we want to learn that. And then we want to learn to where you are now. And the fact that you're doing something that you love to do.
Gotcha.
So, let's get started.
Gotcha. Well, let's see. My first job, I actually worked for my first boss was Korean.
Mm-hmm.
I know a little Korean.
Okay.
I can say, "Kamsahamnida," or I can say, "Annyeonghaseyo," which means, how are you doing?
Okay.
And so, I learned that on my first job. This was back in, 1988, 89.
Mm-hmm.
Was
That's
in
when
high
I was
school.
Born.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
I was finishing
Not
up.
To age you there, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. I'm 45, so
let's get that
out in the open here.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that was my first job out of dairy, Driftwood Dairy. He owned the Driftwood Dairy. I was making $3.15. $3.15, that was minimum wage back then.
Wow.
I know.
Yeah.
And then while in high school, my real job, I had two real jobs after that one.
Wait, back up. You said these two words in Korean, but I don't know Korean. What do those words mean?
Okay, so "Kamsahamnida," I think it means thank you.
Oh,
and
easy.
So "Annyeonghaseyo" means how are you doing?
Ah.
So anytime, by the way, when I say those words, usually when I'm working over at K-Town here in L.A.,
yeah.
Koreans come undone. They love people. They love drivers, and they love foreigners that can speak their language. And so I become a quick favorite of them.
Do they then start talking to you in Korean? Like
they do. They
yeah.
think, yeah.
And you're like, wait, back it up.
Right, kind of like an optical illusion. You know, it's kind of like perception of,
mm-hmm.
of who I am.
My mom does the same thing too to my friends. They'll be like, "Oh, hola, Mrs. Ramirez," and she would start just like, "Oh, sí, cómo estás," you know. And they're like, "Whoa! I only know hola."
Oh, hola. Right, there you go. There you go. And that can mean different things, right, depending
mm-hmm,
on who you talk to.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so then, sorry. So then high school. So then?
All right, so my second job, ironically, mm-hmm. I don't know if you've heard in the news last week or 2 weeks ago, but Toys R Us is filed for insolvency.
Yes.
So they've gone bankrupt. Actually, they've declared bankruptcy. And they're looking for a buyer right now. But my point is that they were my second employer. And so I worked for them. It was fun, a lot of fun. But I think it only lasted for like half a year. And then I got hired with my favorite job, Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, I often get asked, what is something unusual that you did, you know, in one of your jobs? And I was one of the mascots for Chick-fil-A. A lot of people don't know this. You know, when you go to Chick-fil-A now,
yeah.
I think their motto is eat more chicken, right?
Mm-hmm.
The cow. Well, back then, they didn't have a cow. They actually had a chicken. It was noodles, and so I was a 6'2", 185-pound mascot.
Chicken.
Chicken, yeah.
The chicken, I'm sorry, the chicken's name was Noodles?
Yes.
Is that what,
yes,
okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And so that was at Pointe Hills Mall, which is still there. Pointe yeah. Hills Mall is in the City of Industry.
Okay.
And so I grew up in La Puente. In the late 80s, and so that was my third job.
Yeah. You told me a little bit about your past already, that you were born in Mexico City.
Yes.
And from Mexico City, did your family make their way to La Puente area?
Well, actually, no. When we first got here, which was, I still remember this, October 18th, 1978, is when we first got here. I just turned 6 years old. Mm-hmm. My birthday falls in September. And so the very first city we actually lived in was an unincorporated city, the city of Lenox.
Okay.
Kind of like the hood.
Gotcha.
Lenox, for those that don't know where it's at, is actually next to Inglewood. It's a very small city, and it's right where they're building that new stadium for the Rams and the San Diego Chargers. Ironically, the hood, for many, many years, you could buy a house under $100,000 up until maybe about 15 years ago, 1.5. Recently, I've heard that a lot of venture capitalists are going door-to-door offering to buy people's homes and real estate property. Some realtors or some analysts project that homes will reach upwards in the $700,000 mark once that stadium is built. So careful, you know, careful what you say about certain neighborhoods and, you know, their ability to get gentrified or whatnot. But yeah, Lenox is a neighborhood that's quickly getting gentrified.
Yeah.
But that's where I first lived.
Okay.
In Lenox.
Yeah. Nice. All right. Now fast forward. Okay. Now you're in the chicken suit on the corner waving a sign that says eat more.
Well, we didn't. That motto was that motto didn't exist then.
Okay.
I forget what it was. I don't even think we had a motto then. But after Chick-fil-A, I actually was a banker. My first job, let me back up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
After Chick-fil-A, I went to go work for the Olive Garden. Oh. I worked there part time.
What'd you do?
I was a host and then a server.
Nice.
And that was at Pointe Hills. Over by Pointe Hills Mall,
mm-hmm.
and I was working there part-time while going to my first junior college, which was Mount San Antonio College. Mm-hmm. I started there back in 1990, and I had my job with the Olive Garden.
And look at you now. You're back in junior college.
Back in junior college. Yeah, I've done a complete circle, right?
You're right here with me.
Right. So worked there, and at the same time, actually, like I said, I worked at the Olive Garden part-time, Monday through Friday, and then I worked at Bank of America. Ironically, it's funny how I got hired with Bank of America. I went with a friend while I was at college during a lunch break. My buddy Ishmael mm-hmm. comes up to me one day and says, hey, what are you doing for lunch? I said, I don't know. I'm probably going to go get some Chick-fil-A. I don't know. He says, and why don't you come with me? At the time, you still filled out applications to get jobs. And so I went with him. He was going to apply for a job at Bank of America as a teller. He says, just sit there and pretend you're filling out an application. Well, I wasn't pretending. I actually filled out an application. He actually went to school, teller school back then, to see if he can get a better chance of getting hired. Ironically, he never got called. I did.
Wow.
And that was crazy. As they say, the rest is history. I was a banker for 8 years. Worked for the banking industry during the consolidation period of the 90s. So I started with Bank of America.
Yeah.
Worked with them for about a year and a half, too, then went on to CalFed, which doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
They're Citibank.
I was going to say, I don't think I know that one.
Right. They got bought out by Citibank, and then eventually I quit CalFed, went to work for Home Savings of America, who got bought out by Washington Mutual.
Okay.
And then there's another bank that I worked mm-hmm. For, Great Western, that I actually got bought out by Washington Mutual. So within that three... kind of like a triangle merger.
Yeah.
I worked for all those companies during...
I know something about banks. Washington Mutual got bought out by Chase.
They did.
Uh-huh. Ooh.
Yeah, they did. You know, the only way I knew that is because one day I got my mortgage statement, and I'm like, wait.
Chase?
Yeah. Whoa. You know, death identity, right? No. No, it turned out like what you were saying.
My first checking account was a Washington Mutual account, and then when I needed new checks, the new checks came, and they were Chase, and I was like, what the hell?
You're like, you got the wrong guy.
Yeah. Like, who's Chase?
Right? It's like, who comes up with that Chase? Like Chevy Chase, like comedian?
That'd be funny.
No. But, and so after that, believe it or not, my next job was a really big job.
Mm-hmm. Wait, hold on though. Does anything fun ever happen at a bank? Like, I walk in there and it's just like people behind the thing, like handing out cash or getting cash, and You know, like as a waiter, I'm sure you had fun as a waiter because I was a waiter and a bartender for a long time, had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So like a bank, that has to be pretty boring, no?
Well, you know what? It depends. It's all on how you view or how you define fun, right?
Yeah.
I'll tell you a quick story. This actually happened, I want to say it was 1997. I worked at a Washington Mutual Bank, the one right there on Vincent in the city of West Covina, right by West Covina Mall. Mm-hmm. And it was April Fool's Day. And we had three gentlemen that actually walked into the branch with guns drawn, and they held up the branch. No kidding.
Oh.
They jumped over the counter. It was April Fool's Day. And why am I saying this? Because April Fool's is on Sunday, right? And so we thought it was a big prank up until they pointed the guns at us. So they walked the teller line. Asking all of us for our money. And boy, it was a very stressful situation. I think the funny part about it was the minute they jumped back out and ran out, my colleague went after them and chased them. And luckily, he didn't get fired. But of course, what happened next was, you know, FBI shows up because at the time they used to have a field office right there at the Lakes, which is by Edwards Theater. And so they showed up within 5 minutes, West Covina PD. About three or four agencies showed up, first responders show up, and including a corporate psychologist showed up several hours later to see how we were coping with what had happened. And so, you know, I tend to be a prankster. I like to, you know, use humor to diffuse situations, right, conflicts or whatnot, and deal with stress.
Yeah, I do the same thing.
And so I quickly, my boss overheard me say something that was in her view, was not funny. And so she says, you know, you can't be joking around.
What did you say?
I honestly don't remember what I said. I mean, seriously, I wish I could have, but she pretty much threatened to fire me. To which point the psychiatrist says, you can't fire him.
Yeah.
Because that is how he copes. That is his coping mechanism. And so I'm so glad that psychiatrist stood up for me.
Yeah.
You know, I did go on a 6-month leave of absence because it was stressful.
Was it paid?
It was, absolutely.
Yeah.
And so didn't take vacations or anything. I stayed, you know, in my house most of the time. So, but, you know, I learned something about that whole situation that one time. I learned that for me, I use humor. I'm a pretty jovial guy. I like to laugh a lot. And if I'm laughing at you, right? Actually, if I'm laughing with you, I'm not laughing at you.
Yeah.
And so usually that communicates that I like being around you. Or if I'm laughing too much, that usually communicates I'm a little bit nervous. So people quickly that don't know me will ask me, why are you laughing? It's not funny. And I'm like, well, I don't know, because I like your company.
Yeah.
Or I don't know, maybe because I'm stressed out. And so I learned from that day on that having a sense of humor was the way I coped with stress.
Maybe I'm learning something about myself right now. With your story.
right? I mean, you see a spitting image of yourself maybe, right?
Maybe that's the way I deal with stress, and I just haven't realized it yet.
Well, maybe you need to be held up.
Maybe. Did you bring your gun?
No. Can't do that.
You're going to rob Victor in the booth with all his equipment?
I'm not going to comment on whether or not I'm pro Second Amendment with
everything that's been
going on. I'll stay away from that can of worms.
All right. So then you left the bank, and then you said you got a big boy job.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
While going to Cal State LA, a colleague of mine offered a job at Edison. And, of course, Edison, as you know, even to this day, is one of the best companies to work for in the utility industry. And I remember him saying, hey, look, Edison's hiring for a couple of positions. And he told a couple of our friends how to go about getting a job with Edison. Out of, I think, maybe a dozen friends he shared the information with, I was the only one who responded. And so I got hired.
Yeah.
I got hired with Edison. My first job with Edison was a call center rep. You know, the guy you call to complain because your lights are out, you didn't pay your bill, right? Talk about, dealing with stressful situations and people, right?
Yeah.
I think that was my first crack at knowing how to deal with very difficult people in difficult circumstances. I also think that was my first job that really exposed me to whether or not I had the ability or could develop the ability to empathize with people. Imagine calling and you know, it's a 70 or 80 year old lady on the other side of the phone and she hasn't paid her bill because her Social Security check hadn't come in.
Then you want to pay it because you just feel so bad, huh?
Well, that or, you know, I could, you know, use my prerogative and cut her lights, but I wasn't going to be the bad guy. Right? I wasn't going to be that guy.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that was my first job there. And then I applied within that company for an analyst position, working for during the era of deregulation. Mm-hmm. That utility was deregulated in 2000 when that whole deregulation took place. And okay. So I got to do some fun projects at Edison. And after that, I finished college.
There you go.
And I went to go work for the city of Santa Monica, which to this day, probably the job that I loved the most because of the people I met and what I used to do there. A lot of exposure to, the world.
Yeah.
As you know, people look up to that city. It's a quite progressive. It's a green city, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's also, you know, run by a lot of politicians that tend to, they're on the left side of the aisle. You know, there's a reason why they call Santa Monica the People's Republic of Santa Monica, right?
Okay.
And so, but had a lot of fun there. Worked at the airport. Was there for, 8.5, 9 years.
Yeah.
While working at there, as you can see, I'm a workaholic, right?
I know.
Worked for JetBlue, system operations out of Long Beach at the time. I figured I had I worked 4 or 5 days of the week and had three days off every other week. And so I said, I'm going to go work for what I viewed as the best airline in the 21st century. As a matter of fact, on my first interview as a JetBlue employee, right, for part-time position, Magnus Cole, who used to be the GM at Long Beach, he asked me an interview. I guess he felt kind of threatened that I was overqualified for a position there. He felt I was probably going to take his job.
You're gunning for him, yeah.
and he said, well, why do you want to work for JetBlue, right? And I said, I gave him two reasons. As a matter of fact, I said, I want to work for JetBlue because I want to take pride in wearing the uniform. That's a big deal. With me, taking pride in everything you do is a big deal. And so I told him that. And then I said, the second reason is when I get married and have kids, I want to tell my kids I work for the best airline in the 21st century. And he said, hey, man, kid, you got the job. You start Monday.
Boom.
And so these were not answers that were scripted. These are heartfelt, came from me,
yeah,
what I value and my core values. And, you know, I'm always drawn to people that are dysfunctional, like I was sharing with you before the show.
Yeah.
I'm also drawn to people that are visionaries. David Neeleman is a man who is an entrepreneur who used to be the founder and CEO of JetBlue. He's moved on to start another airline in Brazil called Azul. And I was always attracted to leaders like David Neeleman, Dave Barger, Magnus Cole. And I can go on and on and on and on, you know. It's just part of just my inbreed, who I am and what I stand for. And so after Santa Monica and JetBlue, I was there, like I said, full-time with Santa Monica, part-time with JetBlue.
Yeah.
I decided, I get a call one day. I'm in my office at Santa Monica Airport. And this is after I had been turned down for a promotion. This was my first reality check. You know, you work so hard.
Yeah.
You devote so much of your time, a company man, right? Only to see...
you get denied.
Yeah, you got passed up. And you got passed up by someone you hired. You know,
oh, really? Okay.
Someone you trained somewhat, right? And so it was very disappointing. It was heartbreaking, right? But just a year after my denial, right, I got a call from a friend, actually, a consultant that worked for the city of Santa Monica. I said, hey, kid, the city of Long Beach called me. This is the gentleman that's talking to me, a guy named Vince Mestre, a highly respected authority in aviation when it comes to environmental and noise issues, right? And so he calls me, says, hey, kid, there's the city of Long Beach called looking for someone to do what you're doing here with the city, but in Long Beach. And the first person I thought of was you.
Me.
You're like, me? Right, exactly. Right.
Why me?
Why me?
Uh-huh.
And so I don't want to, you know, get into this long, drawn-out reason why. But Vince, if you know anything, I think he may be retired now. Vince Mestre, highly respected in the industry. Like I said, an authority in his field. And so I had a big name behind me. And so to make a long story short, a year after my denial, literally to date, a year after I got denied my promotion at Santa Monica, I got hired with the city of Long Beach, making 40% more of what I was making at Santa Monica. And then, of course, a bigger title, more responsibilities.
Everything happens for a reason.
Everything happens for a reason. That's what my attorney told me.
Yeah. So then, so Mario, so you've done all these jobs, right?
Yeah.
And they're super interesting. Working at an airport is super cool, especially for
aviation,
like an
yes.
aviation like that. Now you're doing something that you love, right?
Yes.
And that is?
I am a Lyft driver, full-time Lyft driver.
Yeah.
I guess I can say an Uber, but that's too controversial.
Yeah, yeah. Us college students, we like Lyft.
Yes, I see that. I don't know if it's politically aligned or I don't know if it's just the color.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know, hot pink or fuchsia yeah. or whatever you call that.
I just go with hot pink.
You go with your inclination, right?
Yeah. What took you to Lyft and Uber?
I think a couple of things, really quickly. I decided to go back to school and to be an aircraft mechanic. I did go to Chaffee. Like I said earlier, I did go to Cal State LA, got my degree in aviation administration.
Mm-hmm.
And technology. Was in aviation for 15 years, 1-5, and then decided to go back and learn something I thought I'd never learn, which is how to be an aircraft mechanic. And so when we would go tour hangars at, say, LAX for, say, American or United, they would tell us one of the toughest things about being a mechanic is trying to adjust to the graveyard shift. I've always worked banking hours, right? And so I said one of the better ways to kind of condition my body and my mind for the work, especially the shift, right, is to go out and drive. And I come from a family of taxicab drivers in Mexico City. That's where I was born.
Yeah.
And so I figured, you know, I had that itch. And I said, you know what, I'm going to try this and see if I like it. It's going to help me on a couple of, help me be conditioned, right? Kill two birds with one stone, right? Get rid of the itch and help me get conditioned. And so I started about almost 2 years ago after mechanic school, and I fell in love with it.
Yeah.
And so now I follow it. I am an evangelical, as they say. As Uber would say in their job descriptions, they hire evangelists, people that preach Uber. And, you know,
and
I do it for both Uber and Lyft.
Yeah, and you're full-time. Like, you just got a car how long ago?
About a year and a half ago.
Okay, how many miles are on it?
Okay, so I got the car with 6 miles. It's going on 105,000 miles.
Oh, my goodness.
With original tires, which just got replaced, by the way. My car is safe.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
So, and why do you love it so much?
I love it because it gives me an opportunity to connect with other human beings.
Yeah.
I like the human aspect of it. I like the fact that in the last going on 2 years, I've met over 6,000 people that I would have never met. I mean, a lot of these people would have never given me the time of day.
Yeah.
And I feel very privileged to go out there and to meet. I would have never met you. I would have never been
That's
here.
Right.
And I've learned that I've become less judgmental in the process.
That's good.
Right. And I think I've become more empathetic.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And a lot more accepting of so many people that live in this city. We live in a city that's so diverse.
Yeah.
And so I think that one of the better ways to strengthen the muscle, right, your ability to connect with people, right, is to go out and do this. Maybe not for a living, but maybe part time.
Yeah.
Right. I think there's so much to gain, other than just a paycheck. You know, it's not a lucrative business in that you're not going to be a millionaire doing this.
Right.
But you will certainly become a better man. A better human being.
Yeah.
I don't judge any situation now. I don't judge any person. You know what I'm saying? And so I think that's what I take away with every single night is that I get to meet people that I would never, ever. I mean, I've had ladies of the night in the car, from ladies of the night, literally.
Yeah.
To, the mayor of Los Angeles.
Wow, really?
Absolutely.
Wow.
The day before Election Day last year, 2 years ago, whenever that was. And so something I take great pride in, something I wish I could do. For forever, but I know at some point I need to go back and do what I was doing initially in aviation.
Yeah, really?
Maybe this time working on airplanes and whatnot.
Oh, I love that, man. That's great. That is great to hear. Hey, what time did you pick me up?
Well, let's see. It was you and your significant other, right?
Uh-huh.
I picked, I think it was, I want to say, I know it was late. I know it was after midnight.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I usually work 7 p.m. to 2 a.m., sometimes up to 3 a.m.
Uh-huh.
Dude,
yeah. You got a great memory for driving so many people. Yeah, you're right. It was after midnight.
Oh, yeah. If I were to tell you all the stories, I mean, some of these stories, they would not be appropriate for your radio station. Maybe Howard Stern.
All right.
So, I feel like I'm at Rush Limbaugh Station right now. No, mm-hmm. I'm only kidding.
No, come on. I'm more fun.
No, I'm messing with you, bro.
We're having a good time here.
Absolutely.
All right. Hey, Mario, so with every guest, I try to... Well, actually, there's only been one guest before you,
Okay.
But with my previous guest, and I want to do this now, I do a set of lightning questions.
Gotcha.
Just like, don't think, just answer kind of thing. And I'm going to just shoot them at you, okay?
Gotcha.
All right. So number one, is double dipping at a party acceptable?
Yes.
Okay. You're a new addition to the Cran Box. What color would you be?
Hot pink.
Hot pink.
Yes.
Because you're a Lyft man.
That's right. I'm a good guy because I'm a driver.
How do you feel about the word moist?
Oh, my gosh. It's starting to get hot in here.
Let's see. Star Wars or Star Trek?
Oh, Star Wars.
There you go. I love it.
Yeah.
Cats or dogs?
Dogs.
Yeah. Dog kisses on the mouth, okay?
Negative.
Negative. Okay. Negative. See, I feel the same way, too. I let my girlfriend's dog do it, but I kind of like cringe when it happens, you know? Let's see. Okay. Can you name three U.S. presidents?
Absolutely. Clinton, Carter, Reagan.
There you go. That's good. Describe the color. No. Let's not do that one. What's the most interesting about you that most people don't know? We'll finish that one.
Most interesting that people don't know about me. Well, the fact that I was a mascot and I enjoyed it with Chick-fil-A. You know, wearing that big chicken mascot back about 20 years ago.
That was an interesting. I
absolutely.
Like that one.
Playing in that's just who I am. I'm a goofball. I mean, my favorite Disney character is Goofy.
Nice.
So, you can just kind of visualize me wearing a chicken suit.
Yeah.
So
I've been picturing
making
it this
kids
entire
cry
because
it's like that chicken's too big
and super scary looking.
There you go.
Awesome, Mario. Well, thank you so much for coming out, man.
My pleasure. Anytime.
Hopefully you get rides that take you all the way back home instead of driving by yourself back home, you know?
Yes. Hopefully I can get some interesting folks.
A lot of the students here ride Lyft, so maybe you'll catch something.
True that, without going bankrupt.
Awesome, man. Well, thank you so much. Everybody, thank you for listening to Living the Dream. This was our week's Dream Chaser, Mario Favila. And he was awesome. I wish I could have him on another week. Maybe. We'll see about it. Well, thank you so much for listening, you guys. This was Christian Ramirez on KPCRadio.com.